So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
Is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study through 1st and 2nd Peter, titled Living Hope. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
So I am very excited to ask Bethany to come up, and would you ladies be praying for her as she teaches? I know that she has things on her heart that the Lord has given her in the wrap-up of this study that we have done. So please welcome Bethany.
Well, I know better than to wear makeup when Shannon leads worship. And maybe next time we can coordinate me speaking with my female calendar, because I'm a mess. But nonetheless, I am a humble vessel. And I am here because of the Lord, and without the encouragement of my mom, my sister, Andrea, and my husband staying up with me till 12:30 last night, I would literally not be here this morning. So the Lord has awesome things for us this morning. So let's pray. Lord, I come before you as a humble vessel, desiring just to be used by you, God. And we thank you and we praise you that you choose to use us. And so I just pray that you would empty me of myself this morning, and that you would fill me to overflowing with you and with only your words, God. I pray that you would open our hearts, soften our hearts, God. I pray that we would live with expectancy of what you're doing in our lives, and how you want to use us, and the truth and the fact that you are coming soon. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And it begins. Okay, so when I used to teach kindergarten and first grade, and my director, Linda Huffman, always told us, when you're teaching especially a new subject or, you know, something new for the kids, you want to tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them, and then tell them what you told them. So I get to tell you what she told you, or mom told you. We're not allowed to call her she ever, ever in our house. And there's a story that goes with that. She said, and that was not allowed. So I was asked to do an overview of what she told you, of what mom told you, in 1st and 2nd Peter. So how many of you are checklist people? Raise your hand up high. Oh, yes, smiles on our faces. Be proud, be proud. I'm a huge checklist person. I've got my daily checklist. I've got my weekly goals. I've got my monthly chores. Then there's the meal plan and the budget and, you know, annual goals. And all those don't get checked off all the time. But I love having things on a checklist that I can go, did it, did it, did it, did it. Recently, our family got to go to Angel's spring training, Angel Baseball spring training. A family takes us every year, such a blessing. And if you've ever gone on a family trip, whether you were the mother or you were the child, you know that the role of packing everything falls on the mom, right? So there's the clothes, there's the snacks, there's the extra clothes in the front of the car in case there's an accident, so you don't have to dig through everything in the back, and then pool toys if there's going to be a pool where you're going, and all those things. And as I look through 1st and 2nd Peter, I see him pointing to the truth that Jesus is coming, and that we're to live in a way that glorifies him. And so I've kind of put together a checklist of eight chapters, eight reminders, that Peter gives us so that we can be prepared for Christ's return. So our first reminder, we'll get right into it, is if we're going to be ready for Christ's return, we need to view trials in the light of eternity. If we're going to be ready for Christ's return, we need to view trials in the light of eternity. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And when you look up the word incorruptible, it says it cannot be perverted or bribed. It will not dissolve, disintegrate, or decay. Now, if you've ever received an inheritance and, say, bought a house with it or something like that, you realize how quickly that inheritance is gone. I mean, you're invested in a house, but you know, whatever you purchased with that inheritance, that money is gone. But we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that never fades away. So in light of that, look at 1 Peter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. This life has trials. And many of you are going through them right now. You've gone through ones in the past, and I promise there's some coming, but that's okay, because we know about our inheritance that's incorruptible. There's two things that I notice in this verse about trials. They're for a little while, in the light of eternity, for a little while. Verse 24 says that all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures what? Forever. As my mom always says, it came to pass, it didn't come to stay. If you haven't heard her say that. We might have her write a book on all the little sayings that she says. Oh, 6.5. It came to pass. But it came to pass, it didn't come to stay. It's for a little while. And the second thing I see is that trials are on a need-be basis. It says, if need be, and you're asking God, how do I need this? Why do I need this? But verse 7 tells us why. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So our first reminder, if we're going to be ready for Christ's return, is to view our present trials in the light of eternity. This is for a little while. It's on a need-be basis to glorify God and to purify my faith, and that it's governed by God. As my mom says, nothing is a surprise to him. Our second reminder, if we're going to be ready for Christ's return, is if we fail to thrive, we let evil survive. Oh, it rhymes. I told you, my husband helped me with this. If we fail to thrive, we let evil survive. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So I've got three kids. My first baby, Abby, who's now 7 years old, 7.5 even. When I had her, when I was pregnant with her, I read everything about babies and everything about motherhood, because I was going to do this right. And so I read a lot about nursing. And, you know, I read that you want to nurse if you can, and if you supplement, your supply decreases. It feels weird. This is, you know, being recorded, talking about your supply. But, and so I was like, okay, I got to, you know, do as much nursing as I can. I don't want to be supplementing or something like that. And so the first doctor visit that she had, the nurse said, or the doctor said, you know, you need to supplement. I guess I make skim milk or something like that. But I was like, well, I'm not supplementing. I didn't tell her this, but I'm like, I'm changing doctors. She just doesn't like skinny babies. So I changed in my pride. I changed doctors. And by the time we got to see that doctor, she had lost weight. And the doctor said to me, if she doesn't gain weight, she is failuring to thrive. And I burst into tears. Failure to thrive. Oh no, I'm a terrible mom. And so we supplemented. She gained weight. And I had to do that with all my kids by like 3 to 6 months anyway. And they're fine. They have three arms, but they're totally fine. Formula's great. No. So they survived. but babies must have milk to grow, to thrive. And I love how the New Living Translation, where it says desire the pure milk of the word, it says to cry out for it. Have you ever heard a hungry baby cry? Yes, I know Juanita Cito has. She heard my babies cry in the nursery at the hospital. They cry out for it. And we need to desire, cry out for, be hungry for the word of God, not just in our crisis, but in our daily lives, daily being nourished by his word so that we can thrive. And we fail to thrive when we let evil survive, when we don't lay aside the actions that we see in verse 1, when we show malice, active intent to harm others, when we are deceitful, not just flat out lying, but when it says to fool or to trick, to hide something from someone in your family. There's a lady, Mary Hunt, you may have heard her on Focus on the Family, and she's a financial guru now, but for the first 10 years of her marriage, she hid like tens of thousands of dollars of debt that she had built up, and she hid it from her husband, and she finally came to him and was like, they lost their house, and now she has written books, and she speaks about warnings of, you know, financial debt and things like that. Those, that was something that she was being deceitful by. She wasn't lying to her husband and saying, I'm not spending money, but it was something that she was hiding from him. So we have to lay all those things aside. Lay aside hypocrisy, the showy, empty display of religion, where we come here and we lift our hands in worship to the Lord, but we go home and we raise our hands in anger to our children or to our spouse or in the workplace. Or envy, the resentment against another success. And this is my biggest struggle, honestly, is learning to rejoice with those who rejoice, which is why I am rarely on Instagram and I'm rarely on Facebook, because that is my, that's a hard thing for me, because I look at what everybody's doing and their new kitchens and their new bathrooms and the cute clothes they've just made their kids, or all the homemade breads and pastas and all these things that they're making. Oh, well, that's nice. She probably only has like one kid, you know, and like try to think of things to make me better than that person. No, rejoice with those who rejoice. She is so gifted. She is so talented. I'm so happy for their new kitchen. Laying aside that envy and laying aside evil speaking, unkind speech, and ask yourself, is it kind? Is it useful? So these things of the flesh war against our souls, and we want him to find us thriving and growing in his image. Yes? So our second reminder, if we fail to thrive, we let evil survive. Our third reminder, if we're going to be ready for Christ's return, we need to seek peace and pursue it. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Seek peace and pursue it. Chapter 3, verse 9. Am I talking too fast? Okay. All right. Let's look at verse 9 then, if I can find it. There it is. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, the day that I was doing this study in our notes or in our workbook, I got spanked by God. I was disciplined by God, because the night before, it's like I was caught in the act of reviling a sister in the Lord, not even an unbeliever. I had been like, well, and it's when I think of being caught in the act of something, I think of my brother Jeremy when he was, I don't know how old, but he came out of his room, I think it was, face covered with chocolate, and just came to my mom and said, I didn't eat any cookies. Like, just came out, caught in the act, chocolate on my face. That's how I felt. Like, oh my goodness, Lord, I have reviled. But when I was looking through the verse, I was like, okay, in verse 8, all of you be of one mind, cool, I'm cool with that. I'm compassionate towards other people. I love people. I'm tenderhearted. I'm courteous. But then I get to, you know, I don't return evil for evil, or I try not to. I'm sure I don't revile. And then I thought I should probably look up reviling just to make sure I don't do it. And it said to speak abusively about others. And I thought, what's abusively? I mean, come on, I'm not speaking abusively. But dictionary.com said to speak, it defined abuse, to speak insultingly, harshly, and unjustly to or about. And this person wasn't even reviling me. They didn't provoke me. They hadn't done anything wrong. And I was suffering because my little tirade, who I shared with a couple people, had set off a little bit of a chain reaction that I may have had to confront the situation and just said, I'm an idiot, which I probably should have done anyway. But God in his grace worked it out for me. So I was suffering for something I had done wrong. But Peter says, when you suffer for these things that others do for you, don't return reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. So when we are treated that way, we're to return blessing. So Peter says that we are called to this. We're all called to return blessing. What if we all asked ourselves, if we're about to say something, is it compassionate? Is it loving? Is it tenderhearted? Is it courteous? And the NIV translates courteous as humble. And I love this because in my experience, when I have reviled or spoken rudely about another person, it's because I want to look better than them, or I want somebody to think I'm better than them. That's really what it all comes down to, you know, in the end. So what if everyone on earth sought peace and pursued it? What if today every single person on earth sought peace and pursued it? We wouldn't have broken homes. We wouldn't have broken hearts, broken lives. Seek peace and pursue it is reminder number three. Fourth reminder, if we're going to be ready for Christ's return, we need to be mindful of how we treat others. We need to be mindful of how we treat others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then in verse 11, it says that in all things, God may be glorified. So we need to be mindful that we show love. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, because it covers a multitude of sins. If we fervently love, we look past the sin to the sinner, like Christ did for us. He looked past our sin and looked to us, loved us, and that is what brought us to repentance, right? So we choose to live out 1 Corinthians 13. We choose to be patient and kind and selfless and humble. And the second thing, we need to be mindful that we show hospitality. Verse 9, be hospitable without grumbling. And this was another thing that was kind of along the same week that I was like, well, I just don't have the gift of hospitality. And then I was like, well, it's not really, it looks like here it's kind of a command for everybody. You know, it was like, be hospitable. And then there was a cross-reference that said that if you're in ministry, if you're elder, you are to be hospitable. I was all, oh, double strike. But those we love and show hospitable to will also glorify God and prayerfully spend eternity with him. I just heard an awesome story that is a perfect illustration of this on Family Life Today. And you know the resurrection eggs that they do? Like each little plastic egg has a story, has something to do with the story of Easter. So this woman did it for her neighbors, her adult neighbors. And some of them had kids and some of them didn't. And she had one neighbor, she had just moved there. She hadn't been there a long time, but she had one neighbor that once he found out she was a Christian, he kind of got in her face about some things, and the last time they spoke, he kind of walked away, but she invited him. And so she had everybody, the eggs are numbered, she had everybody just pick a number out of a bag, so nobody was set up here, but pick a number out of the bag, and then that was the egg that you were going to open, and she was going to read the verse that went with that egg, and he got the verse about doubting Thomas. 2 weeks later, he came to her, and she prayed with him to receive the Lord. So that is, oh, man. So that is being hospitable unto God's glory. Warren Wiersbe said, no matter how difficult life may be, there's a job to do, and we must be faithful. Take time to pray. Show love to the saints. Use your gift and talents to serve the Lord. The Lord who gave you the ability will also give you the strength to use it for his glory. And that's what it's all about. So reminder number four is to be mindful of how we treat others. Fifth reminder, if we're going to be ready for Christ's return, we need to humble ourselves again and again and again. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. So we're to humble ourselves. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And I grew up singing that song, I cast all my cares upon you. And I loved it. It was a song of comfort. I still love to sing it sometimes. And it is. But then I looked at it in this verse, and it's a way to be humble, to submit to others. Because in this chapter, he starts talking about submitting yourselves to one another. When I think I'm right, and everyone else is apparently wrong, not to run and backbite and revile your friends or ministry leaders or spouse or your boss, but you go and you cast those cares on the Lord. Cast, meaning to throw out, throw away. Cast. Don't tell the Lord about it, then pick it up and carry it over to your friend's house so that you can share it with her. But giving it to the Lord because he cares for you. He cares about those little details where you're hurt and you feel like, well, they're not understanding where I'm coming from. And they're doing this wrong and they're hurting me in this way. But bringing it to the Lord and saying, I give it to you. I cast these things at your feet and he will exalt you in due time. And by then, honestly, most of the time, these cares are nothing anymore because we've left it at the Lord's feet and allowed him to work it out. So our fifth reminder is to humble ourselves. Reminder number six, if we're going to be ready for the Lord's return, we need to be effective and productive. We need to be effective and productive. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the NIV translates it, you will neither be ineffective or unproductive. I don't want to be ineffective and unproductive of my time here on earth. I want to abound. Abound means to be rich and in great supply. Like if you say, I don't know, the mountains abound with gold. I don't know if you're panning for gold or something. That's the first thing that comes to mind. But if you're abounding in something, you're rich in it. And I want to be rich in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to know him so well that his characteristics burst from me. Do you know anybody like that? When you see them, it's like, oh, they know God. Because you just, and I think of Rocky, I thought of Rocky, and I Pastor Chuck is the first one that comes to my mind because it's like the joy of the Lord was on his face. And if you told him great news of something the Lord had done, it was always, oh, glorious. That's what his son said, that he would just be so excited, abounding in the knowledge of the Lord. So how do I abound? How do I be effective and productive? Look at verse 5. Giving all diligence, add to your faith, and we talked extensively about this, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So when we look at faith, that's the belief in his great and precious promises that we've escaped the world's corruption. Are you living as though you have escaped the world's corruption, or are you living as a hostage to the world's lust? You're set free. As we sang this morning, we're set free. Hold tight to that. And then virtue, moral excellence, striving for purity in what you let enter your ears, your eyes, your mind, your heart, and in turn your actions. Knowledge, knowing him, studying his word. And that's your faithfulness of being here. I love to see so many women still here at the end of 1 and 2 Peter. You guys are the strong. Self-control. And I love that it says self-control because it's our responsibility through the power of the Holy Spirit to control ourselves so that God can guide us. If my kids lose self-control, it's like you need to go sit down and have some self-control before I can even guide you and help you through this situation. We have to have that self-control. We need patience. We need to wait patiently while God works and prepares. We don't have the choice as to when we wait, but we have the choice to wait patiently, don't we? Godliness, to be like God. And I know it's a little cliche, but I don't care. But the whole WWJD thing, I still use it all the time because it is so truthful. What would Jesus do in this situation? Would Jesus say that about a sister in the Lord? No. Would Jesus act this way, being like him? And love. These things are to be mine. They're to define me, but then I am also to abound in them. These things to be rich and well supplied in me. And why should we abound in these things? We have a family mission in our house. And I tried to do a little Pinterest thing, and sometimes like DIY things look like you made it. And that's what this looks like in my house. It's hanging there like when you're like, oh, did you make that? It's not like, you made that? Oh, did you make that? That's nice. But I did try to do a little plaque thing for our family mission statement. And our family mission statement, the reason we do the things that we do, so encouraging. My mom's like, oh, it looks great. Is to know God and to make him known. That should be the purpose behind the Wilson family, to know God and to make him known. Help us, Lord, to abound so that we can know you more and those around us can know you better. And that is the purpose in abounding in the word, in the knowledge of the Lord. So reminder number six, we need to be effective and productive by abounding in his ways. The seventh reminder, if we're going to be ready for Christ's return, we need to remember that he knows the way out of temptation. Remember, he knows the way out of temptation. Verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And Peter is speaking to the church specifically of being tempted by false teachers. But what is your temptation? I feel like the Lord just laid it so heavily upon me this week that if you are struggling with a temptation right now, it doesn't matter how deep you've fallen into it. You may be there now, and you may feel like you're stuck, like there is no way out of this. But there is. If God can do the things that he did, if you look in verse 4 through 6, if he can cast angels into hell, destroy the entire earth with a flood, but spare eight, turn Sodom and Gomorrah into mere ashes, the same powerful God knows how to rescue you out of your temptation. He knows the way out. Turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. For some reason, the movie The Goonies came to mind when I was thinking about he knows the way out, because you know they're trapped in the cave. Why wouldn't you follow the one who knows the way out? But he knows the way out. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Now remember, this is David, right? So he knows this stuff. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. His heart is for you. He does not condemn you. You seek him and he will show you the way out of temptation. The warning is that it may be tough. It may mean you close your Facebook account so you don't have contact with that person or those people. It may mean that you cut up your credit card if spending is a problem. It may mean that you lock yourself in your room until you have the self-control to deal with your children or spouse, maybe. But take the way out. Follow the one who knows the way out. So reminder seven is to remember that God knows the way out of temptation. And our last reminder, if we're going to be ready for Christ's return, we need to remember that it's all going to burn. To take a saying from the Jesus people of the 60s and 70s, it's all going to burn. Verse 11 says, Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, the earth and the works in it, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord? It's all going to burn. Our job position that we work so hard for is going to melt away. Our beautiful farm sink and Subway backsplash is going to be ashes. That's my dream kitchen, by the way. I don't have it, but it's all going to be ashes. Only what's done for Christ will last, right? And that's where our heart should be. And we're asking, I mean, I'm asking the Lord, how long, oh Lord, how much worse can it get down here? But he says that he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And that we're told to look for and hasten his coming. And I looked at that and I'd never seen it before. We can hasten his coming? It says hasten his coming by glorifying him in all you do. Be diligent to be found living a godly life and point as many as you can to him. I can't wait to find out who that last person is that he's waiting for so that he's like, okay, that was it. That was the one. Let's go. I just can't wait. Jesus is coming. We need to be found ready. There's a Keith Green song that says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I hope so. I want to be found ready. And I want to be found ready. Are you ready? Has Jesus set you free from the bondage of sin and death? Are you walking in his ways? I'm ready. I want to go. I'm ready. If you're not ready, today is the day of salvation. Please come and pray with someone. If not, we want you to be with us in eternity with our eternal inheritance. So back to our trip to Arizona. When all the reminders have been checked off my list, everybody's packed in the car, I can sit in the car, I can let out a sigh of relief, and I can enjoy the ride there. Now, there's going to be unseen detours, surely, and bumps in the road and things like that, but I know that I've checked off my list and I've got everything that I need. And so I pray that as we look down this checklist today, that we find ourselves ready so that we can sit back and we can enjoy the ride. And we can take as many people with us as we possibly can. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it never returns void. And so I pray that as we've been reminded of these things this morning, God, that you would use us to hasten your return. Lord, I pray we would take every opportunity you give us today, whether it's through the Starbucks drive-thru or it's with our neighbors, our children, our husbands, Lord, our bosses, our coworkers, our sisters and brothers, God, that you would use us. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would live in a way that glorifies you. God, take control of our mouths. Take control of the things that we allow into our lives. We give it all to you today, God. We just give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
So wake up. Wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up. Hands up, hands up, all believers,
take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com. Or call 714-891-9495.